You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. On today's episode, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Colin Reed. In this episode, Colin and I will break down the NBA draft that just took place last week, and then we'll dive into free agency. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode with Colin. Colin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Very exciting time of year. You know, I know we all love the transactions, and I can't believe, you know, there's been so much excitement around here with all the Wimby stuff that, like, man, we're knocking on the door. I mean, 3 days from when we're recording is when all of the craziness is going to start. So it's been a whirlwind from finals to draft to this, and it's an exciting time.
Yeah, man, it's definitely exciting. You know, I was back in San Antonio last week just for the draft. I wanted to go cover it, be in San Antonio. So we got to, you know, got to talk with the media, to Coach Pop, and then also to, just be around there. It was a really cool event being there. And then getting to see Wemby be introduced at the Spurs, in front of San Antonio Spurs fans. And I got to be at the arena when he got to see, just like what the arena is going to be like for him there at the AT&T Center. So I was really excited. The city's just definitely really, really happy. And, like, everyone's just, really enthusiastic right now with the Spurs draft, getting the availability to draft Wemby. So, Colin, let's go ahead and break down draft night first, and then let's go into a few notes regarding the Spurs. And I do want to apologize. My screens are going to look a little weird just because I'm having some technical difficulties on my end. So I'm going to be looking at one screen, even though I may not look at the camera as much for those of you watching on video. All right, so let's begin here. Okay, so draft night recap. So the Spurs, of course, did draft Victor Wembanyama with the first overall pick. When it came to pick 33 in the second round, they traded that pick to the Minnesota Timberwolves for two future second round picks, a 2026 Utah pick, and then also a 2028 pick from the Wolves. And then with the 44th pick in the second round, the Spurs drafted Sidy Sissoko with the 44th pick. He's from France, but he did spend a year last year with the G League Ignite here in the States. And according to Brian Wright, the GM of the Spurs, he did say that the Spurs explored their options to try to maybe move up. We saw there was reporting that they might try to move up, but they ended up not going with any kind of deals. From what we were told, even before the draft, is that he really wanted to see what this young core, Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sohan, what these kind of players can do next to with Victor Wembanyama. So even if, maybe there was a trade where maybe Keldon needed to be included, the Spurs didn't go through with that kind of a move. What are your thoughts just on draft night initially?
Yeah, when I knew that they weren't going to try to trade any players, I realized it was probably going to be hard for them to trade up in the draft. You know, a player that I really liked for this team in terms of someone who is young and can develop with them is Anthony Black. And he had a fairly wide range on where he could have gone. And then he basically went as early in that range as possible. So at that point, that was probably tough. And if they had earmarked him as well as like a player that they wanted to bring on, well, six was probably a little bit steep for them to trade into that position. You know, it was very funny the night that the Spurs probably drafted the player that's going to take them into their next franchise year to see discontent that they traded the 33 pick, because it's like, what are we doing? We're kind of losing sight of perspective here a little bit. But, I think one of the things that's interesting about that and something that I was kind of just mulling over is, there's a whole community of people, draft Twitter, draft podcasters, draft all of these things. And really, we're evaluating the talent based on skill, and that's all we have. But every front office person that I've heard from, and I know that you've heard from and talked to some of these front office people as well, they talk about how important the background and the medicals really are. And that's something that we don't really get access to on the outside unless it comes out in reporting. So anytime you're like, oh man, I'm upset that my team didn't sign this person for this or draft this person for this and this reason, like you don't know what the medicals were. Maybe they're fine, maybe they weren't. But you know, it's just always interesting to me when we go through the draft, we only get to see their skills. We don't get to see these other two components that are really important. But I was really happy with them being able to get CD with the 44th pick. And I thought it was a great night all the way around. You know, I think it's one of those where, you know, if Victor stays healthy and the team building goes as they've planned, you know, in 20 years, hopefully it's one of those things where they're showing him being picked at the beginning of some montage. So all in all, a great night for the Spurs.
Yeah, just you're reminding me something. Just the fact that you said there was some discontent over the pick 33 getting traded. I got so many questions about it. The fact that I had to write that in an article, like write the explanation of why the Spurs did that. I mean, so yeah, I just didn't think. I mean, and we're about to get to why, one of the reasons why is just limited roster space at this point as we break down in our next topic here. So now after the draft, Colin, there's been a few notes here regarding Wemby and also just the Spurs in general. So for one, Victor Wembanyama will not be playing with the French national team at the FIBA World Cup. That was announced over the weekend. He made that decision. It wasn't like the Spurs like pressured him and said, you know, you cannot play. They were actually, according to a podcast I heard, that they were actually giving him the green light that if he wanted to play, he could have played. So he was actually choosing more so on his end, looking at talking to his medical staff that, you know, he's just played a lot of basketball over the last year. And so it was just in the best interest for his young NBA career to not play FIBA World Cup. The Spurs reportedly had some interest in signing Naz Reid to a one-year deal before the Minnesota Timberwolves signed him to a three-year extension or multi-year extension. So that's interesting to hear that the Spurs, we've heard that the Spurs are interested in targeting a center, whether that's via free agency or via trade. And so that just shows that if it was true, that rumor that the Spurs had interest in Naz Reid, well, then, yeah, that's a sign right there, even though he's going to be in Minnesota. The Spurs also have reportedly agreed to a two-way deal with Sir Jabari Rice out of Texas. He went undrafted. And so Woj reported that same night on draft night that he'll be playing on a two-way deal with San Antonio. He can't sign that two-way deal until free agency begins on July 1st. So that's why he hasn't officially been signed yet. And then here, Zach Collins' contract for $7.7 million did guarantee. That's not a surprise to us. We knew that was going to happen, especially via Coach Pop. He said on the last week of the regular season, Pop mentioned that Zach would be back next year. At that time, he called him the starting center for the team. But now things have changed. Now that he got Wembanyama, maybe Zach will start. Maybe he won't. And then lastly, also when Brian Roque spoke with the media, he said that Trey Jones is going to be entering restricted free agency, which is interesting because the Spurs had until June 30th to extend Trey Jones, which basically not letting him go into restricted free agency, very similar to what the Timberwolves did with Naz Reid. But they're opting, it looks like, to let him test the market here. You don't talk about all these topics, Colin, but is there anything there that intrigues you out of those notes that we learned?
Yeah, just a couple quick touches. You know, I was very thankful when I heard that was Wimby's decision not to play in FIBA, because these, you know, I wish that it were true for American players too, but I understand that American basketball is really centered around the NBA. But I know that for international players, playing for their country is like a huge point of pride. And I remember, you know, this wasn't early on in Manu's career. This was when he had been with the team for like 15, 16, 17 years. He had a pretty frustrating situation with the team where they didn't want him to play for Argentina, and he knew that was one of the last chances he could get. And you know, they were able to resolve it, thankfully. But you know, I don't remember the exact timeline, but I don't remember if it was before or after that. You know, Philly came along with a giant offer to him and said,
yes,
hey,
I remember that.
If you want to be a veteran on our team that's growing, you know. And so you just don't want that kind of discontent to start literally the summer you signed Victor Wembanyama. So I was really happy to hear, okay, no, this is his decision. This is what he's wanting. It's not like the Spurs coming in. And I think, you know, the fact that they're so cautious is a good thing. I just wouldn't have wanted that to start literally the first summer that they signed him, where they're frustrating him with, oh, we don't want you to play for FIBA. So that being his decision is awesome. The Naz Reid thing is something that we're going to talk about a lot, I think, in the next couple sections here. But the fact that they were looking at a center, specifically one that maybe is a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger to absorb some of that physicality, it's really interesting that they're looking for that, because the center position is very thin this free agency, and specifically that type of center. Like, there are some centers available, but they're kind of more of the like thinner, leaner, string being, very quick guys, the like physical, strong guys that are really going to like bruise with people down low. Very thin free agency class. So it's going to be interesting to see I mean, obviously that seems like a role they want to fill, and I'm interested to see how they're going to do it.
Okay. And then now, before we go into breaking down the free agents specifically, I do want to talk about the state of the roster, because I think this is very important before we dive into, you know, who are the free agents out there, because I think we got to really talk about how the Spurs have very limited roster spots. And I think this is something we've addressed before in the Spurs cast. So with Zach Collins' contract guaranteeing over the weekend, the Spurs have 11 players going into next season on guaranteed deals, which means they only have four open roster spots in terms of the full roster. Now, free agents that are going to be out there on the market this coming week or weekend are Trey Jones, who's restricted. We have Romeo Langford. I don't know if the Spurs will make him restricted. It doesn't seem like they will. We have Sandru Mamukelashvili, who's going to be a restricted free agent. And I do want to note that I think the Spurs will try to bring him back, because he was actually present there in San Antonio at Wemby's press conference. It was him, Keldon Johnson, and Jeremy Sohan. The three of them were all in there in person supporting Wemby as he was making his first initiations into San Antonio, or welcoming into San Antonio. So I think Mamu's definitely going to be back, or at least they're going to try to bring him back. We have Kata Bates-Jop out there, who's on an unrestricted free agent. Then you have Gorgui Dieng, also unrestricted free agent. Now, we talk about the two-way roster spots. One, if it's true that Serge Ibaka Rice is taking one of those spots, then one's already filled. Then you would think that CD Sissoko, who they just drafted, is probably going to get another one. So that leaves probably just one two-way spot. But there's two players probably fighting for that spot. There's Julian Champagne, who the Spurs can make a restricted free agent for a two-way spot. And also Dominic Barlow, who the Spurs drafted last year in the second round, who they can make him a restricted free agent for that other two-way spot. And again, this points more so why they traded pick 33. The fact that there's even limitations on their two-way roster spots. Now, how much cap space do the Spurs have? They have a lot of cap space, depending on moves they make with Trey Jones, with Mamu, where they can open up anywhere from like 26 to about $38.7 million in cap space. We do want to say that if Jones and Mamu return, then there's just going to be two open roster spots. So again, when we get to this free agent discussion here in a bit, we do want to note that there's just two open roster spots. And then their lineup's kind of, I would just say, weird. It doesn't really make a lot of sense at certain positions, because a lot of the players like are in each other's places already. And I think it's just the fact that it's a great thing, obviously, that they got Wemby, because, you know, he's right there. You know, he's your cornerstone. That's the main piece you start with when you start building a team. But now to fill in the pieces around Wemby, and then you still have all those young core players, it's kind of tough to find exactly where that need is. We know there's some needs, but exactly where is it? Because a lot of the players kind of like overlap in terms of position. So are the Spurs looking for a starting point guard? Are they looking for wing depth? Are they looking for a starting center, as has been reported? Or I would just say, how do you even start to like build a starting lineup when it's just like, so it's just a little different. Like, again, like, cause like Wemby's there and you would think he would be the five, but then there's been reports that they want to have, you know, like you said, Colin, a more physical presence there at the five to start, to have him basically start at the four. So then you could have Zach Collins starting at the five, or you could go out and find a five via trade or free agency. Then Jeremy Sohan would usually play the four, but now he might have to shift down to the three, which is a place he didn't play last year. Offensively, he'd be fine, I think, just, you know, running point or doing things like that. But it's defensively, he's more of a four. And then you still have Devin Vassell, who you want to keep in the starting lineup. He can play the two or the three. And then you have Keldon Johnson, who can also play the two or the three. But then it's like, where does that starting point guard go if you want to start all these players? You don't want to put like Keldon on the bench and he's like a $20 million player. You don't want to put Vassell on the bench and he's about to get an extension most likely. So I think it's just kind of hard to figure out where their needs are, because they have such a – it's just a different lineup, because a lot of players kind of overlap in position. What are your thoughts on the state of the roster before we dive into the actual free agents?
Yeah, and you were kind of mentioning it there. I mean, I feel like Sohan's best position is a four. And, you know, you can see there maybe being a closing lineup where Wemby slides over to the five and you have Vassell and Johnson and Sohan and Wemby, and then, you know, take your pick at who's at the one, as we're about to discuss. But, you know, I know that there have been some people, because of last year when Pop played Sohan at point guard a little bit more, you know, I think that was partially due to A, we're trying to develop this guy, B, we're trying to lose 60 games, and like C, we're, you know, we don't have any point guards on the roster. I know, you know, I picked up NBA 2K23 last year and I started my team and I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna buy all the Spurs and I'm gonna play them. The game didn't even let me run a lineup because I didn't have enough point guards. It was like, you need two point guards. You only have Trey Jones. You need another one. You know, it was like, there are not enough point guards in the roster. So, and then they picked up Devontae Graham, you know, midseason. But I just feel like And this is where I was getting when I started looking through this, you know, and some people are like, well, what are the Spurs going to be? Are they going to be competitive, barely out of the play-in team, playoff team, whatever? My big question is, well, okay, we get to the end of a game in a playoff series. They don't have an answer for Victor in the pick and roll. Who on the Spurs is that pick and roll ball handler spamming the pick and roll with Wimby every time down the court? Because like, Sohan might be able to bring it up and initiate the offense, but I don't know if he's that pick and roll ball handler. No, and that's really what I'm getting at is like, if they have the 7'5" guy who can pop, who can roll, who can hit the mid-range jumper and drop, they need, like, if this team is going to win a championship, they need an elite point guard that can run the pick and roll. I mean, it doesn't have to be a point guard, but just an elite pick and roll ball handler. That might not come yet, but that's definitely a position of need. And it's just, it, like you said, okay, so you have that at the one. Well, now you're starting two of Vassell, Johnson, and Sohan. So it's very weird. I'm very interested to see, you know, these first couple of preseason games that are still 4 months away. You know, that's going to be very telling to see, like, okay, what are these starting lineups that they're throwing out there?
Yeah, and I think that it'll be answered as we get the games. It's just more so to start the season. I think that, you know how Pop is, Dick. He's in, basically, you have to earn your spot after a while. Like, if it's not working for you after 20 games, he's going to bench you, and, you know, those kind of things. But that's why I think that it'll eventually figure itself out. But I think just initially to start, it's kind of, this is why it's hard, though, when you're building a team to, or like, looking at players to sign or trade for. It's like, where exactly do you target? And also, you had a great comment there. We don't know exactly how aggressive they're going to be in terms of wanting to be competitive, in terms of, like, are they trying to shoot straight for the playoffs this year? Is it like a very slow development, like just making some incremental progress based on last year? You know, that's another question we don't quite know. That's more so of, like, you know, where's the front office at in that department? And so with that, let's go ahead and jump now into free agency. Just looking at some available free agents. So what we're going to do, Spurs cast listeners, is Colin actually took some time and he built these three different tiers. I like the way that he did this. I'm going to let him explain exactly why he put some of these players in these tiers. And then I'll just talk about what I found out in terms of research, in terms of, you know, what is the projection of these players contract wise. And then Colin, you and I can kind of just go back and forth if we're going to, you know, if you would prefer the Spurs sign that player or not. So first, before we begin, do you want to tell listeners why we exactly, why you chose some of these players in these different tiers?
Sure. So I went to Spotrac's free agency tracker, and they have all of the free agents marked out as either all-star, starter, rotation, or fringe. And I'm not quite sure what they're doing behind the scenes to get those, but I basically exported all those to a spreadsheet and removed all the fringe. So we're left with all-star, starter, and rotation. And then I went over to B-Ball Index. They have a couple of proprietary stats that kind of measure like shooting ability and playmaking ability. Mm-hmm. And I looked at all of these free agents in those two categories. And, you know, some of them were strong in both, and that was really alluring to me. Some of them were strong in one and like pretty good in another one. And so basically not only that, but, you know, that doesn't account for defense. So for instance, a name here on the list, Grant Williams, he wasn't, you know, quite as high in both of those categories, but I knew like, okay, he's going to fit what the Spurs need on defense as like a big man who's versatile. So I started off with that list, and then I looked through the list for other like fits as needed.
Okay, so let's first talk about tier one, which you were calling like great, like these additions would be, these players would be great with the Spurs. And I do want to make one comment, because a lot of these players are restricted free agents, because there has been an update to restricted free agency with this new CBA. So here's the rule according to the league memo, even though the actual CBA is not out yet, and this free agency is about to start on Friday. So the new update to the restricted free agency is that if you send an offer sheet, you now, teams that are getting that offer sheet, they have one day, or the original team has one day to match. So they're just 24 hours to match. However, if it happens during the moratorium, July 1st through 6th, then you don't have to match or make your decision until July 7th, as soon as the moratorium lifts. So again, regarding restricted free agency, we do want to note that for 24 hours, your cap space can be tied up if you're sending, you know, a big offer to one of these restricted free agents. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the players that Colin listed here and kind of tell you their contract ranges. And I've just listed them by height according to the NBA.com's height data. So we have Dante DiVincenzo. His projected range is like in that mid-level exception range, according to Bob Marks. A lot of these projections are from Bobby Marks. So between 5 and 12.4 million. We have Kobe White. He's a restricted free agent with the Bulls. Contract range is between 5 and 12.4 million. Austin Reeves, he's a restricted free agent, 6'5", should I say. He's going to require more than the MLE. We don't know exactly how much, but he is a arenas free agent, which I've explained here on the Spurs cast, means that his contract, you have to basically backload the last 2 years of the contract if you're trying to get the Lakers to try to match it. And so basically, Yazi Goslin of Hoops Hype reported this on Twitter. He says, let's just say a full max look for Austin Reeves, it looked like 12.4 in year one, 13 million in year two, then it balloons to 37.4 in year three and 39.1 million in year four. According to all the different podcasts and reports I've read, Lakers are willing to match. I don't know how much they would go. Would they go all the way to his max? Colin, player, you mentioned Grant Williams. He's in a restricted free agent as well. He's probably going to need more than the MLE to pry him away from Boston. Although Bill Simmons, I don't know if it was him or his guest, they mentioned on one of the Bill Simmons podcasts that a deal like 4 for 40 might be enough for Grant Williams. PJ Washington from the Hornets is going to be a restricted free agent. He's going to need more than the MLE to move him from Charlotte. Cameron Johnson, 6'8", from Brooklyn. He's going to need more than the mid-level. The Nets are probably willing to match up to a certain extent. You have Jakob Poeltl, former Spur. He's an unrestricted free agent, and his market's looking like 15 to 20 million. That's how much it's going to cost you if you want to try to sign Poeltl away from the Raptors. And then lastly, my apologies. I put PJ Washington twice there. All right. So, Colin, go ahead and tell me the players you would want the Spurs to sign from this group. And then I'll tell you the players that I thought of.
Yeah. So, I think for me, I'm very much a realist. So I'm looking at, you know, hearing the reportings that Austin Reeves, I think he would have been a great fit. Sounds like the Lakers are willing to match him. So I'm kind of marking him off in my mind. Cam Johnson, I'm not sure if the Spurs are going to go to that, like, ooh, we're going to make the Nets uneasy level. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like Jakob and the Raptors are kind of have some sort of, I mean, I'm not going to say agreement, but it sounds like they have an understanding behind the scenes. I think Jake Fisher today said that league knowledge is that they're going to come to an agreement of some sort. And so when I'm looking at this list, just to quickly go, like, I think Dante DiVincenzo would be an awesome get for the Spurs. You know, you have the $5 to $12.4 million range here. And something that I think is really interesting here is that $12.4 million is the non-taxpayer mid-level. Well, if the Spurs waive all of their cap holds except for Trey and Mamu, but they don't sign those guys. Let's say they come to an agreement with them, but they don't sign them. Their cap holds are low. So what they can do is they can sign two free agents for more than the MLE. They can just outbid. They can say, oh, here's $14 million. And then they can use a new tool that's in their disposal with the new CBA. I mean, it's been there before, but the room exception used to be less than the taxpayer MLE. That has now flipped where it's now worth more. This upcoming year, it's going to be, I think, 7.7. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you're looking at, you know, these guys that are in that $5 to $12 million range, you know, if they are excited to come to San Antonio, then maybe the room exception is something that's worth it. And if it's a restricted free agent who maybe, you know, just needs a little bit more than the MLE to like sign that offer sheet, but the team's not going to chase them, you can sign them for $14 million. So in my projections, you know, not with the roster spots, you'd have to waive someone to make this work. If you're going to bring back Trey and Mamu, you could do something like Dante, Kobe, and Grant Williams. And Kobe White, I don't know. I have any reporting. It just seems like it's one of those situations where both sides are ready for a fresh start. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of one of those guys who I'm wondering, maybe the Bulls would just match this, but would he go for that $7 million room exception, at least to start with? And then the Spurs can, like, if he becomes a part, because he's that, you know, that I think John Hollinger came up with the second draft guys, where you can bring him on, he's still young enough, and all of a sudden he has a new role where now that's where he's flourishing. And so for me, when I'm looking at this list for both the intersection of likely and also what I think would be good fits for the Spurs, it's Dante, Kobe, and Grant Williams, I think would be a really good. So now you're adding shooting to the team, you're adding some defensive versatility, and you're adding another one of those pick and roll ball handler threat kind of guys. You know, again, not elite, but that's not, there are none of those out there this year except for James Harden and Kyrie Irving and Fred VanVleet, which the Spurs are not getting. So yeah, I like those three guys. If they can walk out of free agency with those three, I think they've had a huge win of a free agency period.
Okay. So what I did here was for, in terms of just looking at it, I was looking more so at, like, I don't know. I just feel like out of those names right there on this page, I just feel like Austin Reeves and Cameron Johnson are two players that you can give like a 4-year deal and you're going to feel, you know, they're going to be a good foundational pieces to build alongside Devin and Sohan and Wemby, you know, for not just, you know, 1 or 2 years. So, but I'm having trouble with those numbers, man. Cause like, I don't think you need to go to the, you know, if you're the Spurs, you don't go to the max for either of those guys, just to pry them away from their teams from the Brooklyn or the Lakers. Now, just Reeves, I was just looking at what if they did go to the max in 2025, you know, in year three, he would be taking up 25% of their salary cap, which is, you know, it's supposed to be at 149. So I'm like really hesitant. Also, I feel like if you go after Austin or Cameron, I think you do got to try to move somebody in that starting lineup, somebody like Keldon, maybe that's when you, cause there's just like, why are you paying these guys now? And you still have that overlap of just a lot of players there on the wing. So if it's not for like a max level, I would be interested in seeing if they go after either Austin Reeves or Cameron Johnson this coming weekend. If not, Poeltl, I'm thinking maybe if you do like a 1 or 2 year deal, yes, in that $15 to $20 million range, he knows the system, you know, Spurs know him. He could start. He's one of those centers who's physically there defensively, who can play alongside Wemby, you know, play more so inside and guard like the Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid kind of players whenever you play those kind of teams. But I don't know if I want to go all the way to 4 years, maybe 1 or 2. And then the player I think is more realistic of them getting is just Dante DiVincenzo. Even if they have to give him like just a little bit over that 12.4, I think, and I think I don't think he'll be a starting guard, but he would definitely be a good piece off the bench. He can play alongside Malachi Branham in lineups. I think Dante there is one of the players who really intrigues me. All right, let's keep going here. Go ahead. Did you want to say something?
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say like I agree because and like I say, I knew it was doing the projections. You can even go again if you're just trying to chase off other teams. You can go 14, 15, 16 million with Dante. Yeah. Like the cap is rising, new TV deal is coming. And now you're not competing against, you know, a contender that has the non-tax pyramid level. You're competing against one of the other, I think there's 7 or 8 total cap space teams, you know, and that's a completely different type of market at that point. So I think that's kind of the situation that like I said, you can do that with a Dante and then a Grant Williams and then offer someone else the room exception. It's that room exception being bigger, I think, has leveraged a lot for the Spurs this upcoming free agency.
I like Grant Williams too. It's just, I just feel like then he gets in the way in terms of minutes, like for Sohan or Vassell or Wemby. Yeah. You know, there's just like all these, it's just too many like of the players that they're at the 4 and like 3-ish kind of range. And that's why, that's where I was a little bit more hesitant, even though I think you could get him on a good deal. Yeah, and then like what you said there, I mean, it really just gets to 13 million, you're good. Like a lot of those teams aren't going to be able to get there. Like none of those teams are that. A lot of teams don't have the full taxpayer, and then if not, some of them only have 5 million with that tax exception, which is just 5 million. That's all you have to beat on some cases. And then there's capped out teams like the Warriors and a few others that have none. They have no exceptions because they're in that second apron already going into free agency. So I mean, they have no way to match you at all. So again, there's definitely a way that you're going to be able to get some really good role players, I think, in this coming free agent class, better than. Because the other teams aren't able to match you. All right, let's go to your tier two, Colin. These are the players you're calling like good fits here. You know they would work out well. So let's first begin with Seth Curry. And again, I'm listing the players by height. Seth Curry. His contract range is also in that MLE range, 5 to 12.4 million. Corey Joseph, former Spur, a little bit less, probably like that veteran minimum to like $5 million range, 2.5 to 5 million. Josh Hart. Although we're waiting on word from the Knicks that he and the Knicks pushed his player option deadline back a few days. So that'll be coming up. I'm pretty sure from all the reporting that he's going to end up staying in New York. So, but he's there. Max Strus, free agent, unrestricted free agent, $5 million to $12.4 million is what's going to cost you to pull him from Miami. Shake Milton, about $2.5 to $5 million. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who is going to play, I'm going to talk about here in a little bit. He's a restricted free agent, and his market's there in like the 5 to 12.4 million range. Ty Jerome, he's going to be a restricted free agent. He probably needs a minimum, he's like a minimum player at this point. Delano Banton of the Raptors, restricted, also a minimum player. Troy Brown Jr., 6'7 of the Lakers, about 2.5 to 5 million to prime away. And then Bismack Biyombo, minimum probably player at this point. And then Dario Saric, 2.5 to about 5 million. And then Mason Plumlee had a good showing with the Clippers right at the end of the season. So he's in that 5 to like 12.4 million range. Who are some players you like there at the, in your tier two list?
Yeah. So, and again, you're talking about like this Grant Williams, Jeremy Sohan, like these kind of, and I know Dario can slide down to the 5. And so I know he does get in a logjam of that too, but he is one of those players. There are players out there that just scream, I am a San Antonio Spurs sometime in my career. And Dario Saric does for some reason. There was the like, we thought the Spurs were going to get him when they were going to, I forgot, who are they going to trade this on?
Yes. I remember there was a few years ago. With Thaddeus Young.
And they were going to get Dario Saric. But even before that, like Dario has always seemed like a Spurs kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And then I was looking and I saw Mason Plumlee on the free agent list. And I was like, oh, Mason Plumlee played for Pop in FIBA World Cup a couple of years ago.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot.
And good, I was cool. Like, and you're looking for like a bigger kind of bruiser center-ish kind of guy. You know, I mean, he has that relationship with Pop, and that was kind of where I was coming from with Corey Joseph too. You know, he didn't grade out as a shooter, but you know, he graded out in my system as a good creator. And you have the knows the Spurs system.
Yes, for sure.
Seth Curry, you know, low on creator, but high on the shooting, obviously, maybe a good bench shooter. I think a couple that I was really, really interested in, and then Bismack Biyombo, just another, like I said, big physical defensive center. Ones that I was really interested in was Shake Milton and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. They both rated very highly as both shooters and as playmakers. And that was really interesting to me because I think both are gettable and they're both like players that are a size that you covet in the NBA, and they're coming out as like good connector pieces and good shooters, which is what the Spurs need right now. So those two, I actually at first had them on my great tier, but then I was like, okay, if the Spurs signed either of these players, would we be like super excited? I think they're good fits, but I had to move them down. But they actually rated out, those two rated out really well in my system, and so I was interested to see that, and so they made the list.
Okay. So I have a few of the names that you mentioned there. I wrote down Seth Curry. You know, he comes off the bench, immediate good shooter, gives the Spurs some spacing there. And again, right there at that range between 5 and 12.4 million. Josh Hart, I think he's going to end up back with the Knicks. So, but if he was available, I think that the Spurs should definitely make a run at him. Max Strus is a player who I find very interesting. And probably not to start, but to come off the bench, you know, just be a good shooter, provide some spacing. And in the event that Doug McDermott either gets traded or he ends up leaving in free agency next year, then that's a player who's kind of there at the wing for you in terms of, and so brings forth a lot of your shooting. The player who I'm really interested in there is Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I was really impressed by his playoff performance with the Timberwolves, just the way he hounded players on defense. I mean, just really locked in there. He was making a lot of corner threes wide open, just had a really good playoff run. And I just feel like, yeah, he may not start for you, but he's one of those versatile players that he bring off the bench immediately. Or if there's like a very high level offensive player, he's the player that you just say, hey, you're going to start this game only, and you're going to have to make sure you guard this guy. Like that's your job. Just make sure you're defending him. So I feel like he would definitely bring an impact defensively. And the fact that, again, it just might take you $13 million just to get, you know, prime away from the Timberwolves, if that's the case. And then, of course, Saric is a player that I mentioned, even though, like I said, there's a lot of players there at the four already. But I just think off the bench, he can be a player who's very versatile, does a lot of things for you on your second unit. And so I definitely think Dario Saric is one of those players that really is really impressive to me. All right, man. And now let's go to your last tier here, tier three. And these are players who you're saying, you know, they fit a need. And so some of the names on here may not be exciting, or some of them are probably not likely. They're probably like the marquee names in free agency. So that's why you wrote either they're not exciting, or they're just, you know, they're probably not going to be gettable for the Spurs this offseason. So let's begin just with the list. We have Fred VanVleet, who is expected to get $30 million or more in this coming offseason, most likely from the Houston Rockets, is what all the reporting is showing right now. Reggie Jackson, 2.5 to about 5 million. Kendrick Nunn, 2.5 to 5 million. Bruce Brown Jr., who just won a championship with the Nuggets, he's probably going to command a little bit more than the MLE, or maybe right at the MLE, the 12.4. D'Angelo Russell with the Lakers, more than the MLE, so it's going to take most likely. Terrence Davis from the Kings, 2.5 to about 5 million. Damian Lee from the Suns, 2.5 to about 5 million. Jordan Clarkson, he has a player option that hasn't been decided yet, but according to all the reports, he's going to end up staying in Utah, probably in a long-term deal. So, if he's available, I mean, that's a good option. But if not, I think he's going to end up staying in Utah. If he does become unrestricted free agent, it's probably going to take more than the MLE for Jordan Clarkson. Alec Burks, the Pistons haven't decided yet if they're going to pick up his team option or not, so we're kind of waiting and seeing. But if he does go to if he goes into free agency, his contract range is like that 5 to 12.4 million. You have Caris LeVert there with the Cavs, more than the MLE is required probably to get him. Josh Richardson, former Spur, about 5 to 12.4 million. Yuta Watanabe of the Brooklyn Nets, about 2.5 to 5 million. Joe Ingles of the Milwaukee Bucks, 5 to 12.4 million. And then Kyle Kuzma, who's a name that I've gotten from a lot of Spurs fans have been throwing, mentioning his name in my mentions. Well, it's going to take more than the MLE. And plus, just a report this morning that he's seeking closer to $30 million, which I think is too much for him. But again, we'll kind of see. Who are some players that you would prefer the Spurs to look at here in free agency?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of just going back to the system, Alec Burks and Caris LeVert were two players that rated well in the system. Alec Burks, he's under here because of Well, actually, both of them are under here because not likely. Because Alec Burks, you know, he's a player who does have a team option. That's a lot of team control. And he graded out well in both systems. And what do you know? We're hearing reports that the Pistons are probably going to exercise that option and keep him on the team. Caris LeVert is a situation of, you know, the bird rights trap, where if they lose him, the Cavs can't really do anything with that salary spot. They're not going to gain salary. And even though, you know, he maybe hasn't been the most impactful player for them, losing them would be a talent downgrade. So it's one of those things where it's like you either keep him or lose him for nothing and downgrade your talent. So they're going to keep him, I would be pretty sure about. And then Kyle Kuzma, I don't think they're getting. Fred VanVleet, I don't think they're getting. Now, a name that we see on here, I talked about a high level or elite pick and roll player. There is one I see on the list, and that's D'Angelo Russell. He has some other warts, and I don't know if the Spurs fans would love them throwing a huge bag at him. But when you come to that one weakness on the roster, where the Spurs just don't have a lot of pick and roll creation, there is a player available in free agency they could go get, and they have the resources to do it. I mean, the warts are what they are, and I feel uneasy about it too, but there is at least something of a fit there. Now, the most exciting name for me on this list is Bruce Brown. Of course, he's kind of the belle of the ball because he just, you know, was a part of a championship-winning team. But his play style, obviously, you know, defense, plays within a system, plays within the flow of the game, gets his offense when it comes to him, you know, plays his role well. I mean, that's like 2014 Spurs role player thing right there. And I know that's something that I think we who watch that team will see that kind of player and like immediately like note it down, like, oh, Bruce Brown should be a Spur. And so I think Bruce Brown is a guy I see on this list, but I think that he is going to command a little bit of a market, and I think he's going to get his pick. And I think if he wants to be back in Denver, he's going to be able to go back to Denver, even though that might not be for the biggest contract. If he wants to go to another contender, he will. And so I think one of the really interesting things that we might get to is for a player, you know, all these players say they want to play for a contender, which I completely understand. I would too. The Spurs were 22-60 last year. What is the calculus in these players' minds when they have Wimby now and it looks like they're going to ascend? Where do the Spurs now rank in their things of like, I could go there, establish myself as a role player for the next 5, 6, 7 years, and maybe by the end of that, we're a championship roster? Like, they're obviously not contending, but it's hard to know how players are evaluating the Spurs. Because if the Spurs did not get Wimby in the draft, I would know how they're evaluating the Spurs, and it's a lottery team.
Exactly,
it's really hard now to know, like, is this an attractive free agent destination for some of these younger guys who think they can grow and establish here? Like, we talked about earlier, a Kobe White might feel like, I can go there and spend 7 or 8 years there and become, you know, a part of their guard rotation for a long time, and then I'm on a championship contender, you know, and that's what I want in my career. And maybe Bruce Brown thinks that too. I just think there's going to be a huge market for him. So, and not in terms of like the money, but in terms of the suitors, I think everyone wants a Bruce Brown on their team. And so that's why I had it in the not likely, just because I don't know what his motivations in free agency are. But I think he is definitely the most exciting name on this list for me.
Okay. Two players that interest me, and there are probably more players that provide more depth in terms of one of them is a player who's, you know, he wouldn't command a lot, which is just 2.5 to 5 million. That's Yuta Watanabe. I like what he did with Brooklyn last year. I think, again, just in terms of depth, having an extra shooter out there, he's really he matched that perfectly, and especially just for that contract, 2.5 to 5 million wouldn't be bad. And as depth, and then just a player to have on your second unit, or even in crunch time, with pick and roll ball handling skills, and that's Joe Ingles. You know, he's split the Jazz. I know he's getting older, and that's why I just feel like he would be hesitant at this point to join a young team like the Spurs. I think he'll want to go to a championship contender at this point of his career, like we saw him do with Milwaukee last year. But he's also a player that I think, just, you know, running some second unit for you, especially alongside Wemby at times in the pick and roll would be very interesting to watch. So D'Lo is a little bit different for me. I understand what you're saying there, that like, if you really want to get like an estate, like out of this group of free agents, one that's not going to cost like, you know, like Fred VanVleet and it costs doing over 30 million, maybe giving D'Lo like, you know, like a few years, but maybe, you know, I don't know where the limit is. Like, where do you say it? Like, is 18 to 20 is what I'm already thinking in my head. And like, that's, you know, that's more than what some other teams might offer, but you know, and then you trade him down the road like 2 years. No, I'm just not as high on him, but I understand what you're saying about how they need like a player right now who knows exactly how to run the pick and roll and kind of run an offense. And he's done that for multiple years. He just did that with the Lakers. So I'm a little bit more hesitant on him. So that was a really good list there of players. And I just like that there's some methodology, you know, how do you say
methodology,
there you go, behind all these players listed. Yeah, thank you for that help there with one of those tongue twisters. All right, so now, okay, so for me, I didn't really make any kind of list because I really like to use Collins there, what he made, but I just wrote down, I looked at all these free agents, and I looked at, again, you have six players who are your core. You have Wemby, you have Sochan, Devin Vassell, Malachi Branham, and then you have Keldon Johnson. He's kind of like, I don't know exactly where Keldon's going to fit their long-term plans. I know they have him on a multi-year extension, but in terms of fit, there's some overlap going on there. And like Zach Collins is part of their core right now, and also Doug Major, but they can end up leaving. You know, they're both going to be free agents next year. So those are like your main core, those young players. And so I'm just like trying to figure out if you go after one of these players in terms of these three specific free agents, you know, where could they sound like a 3 or 4 year deal, and can they be on this team, you know, long term? And I would say yes for Austin Reaves and Cameron Johnson. Now, if you sign one of those two players, I feel like you do got to make them starters, like you're making that investment in them. But so then I think that you do have to probably move Keldon if that's the case. Like, I think that if you're bringing on Reaves, you're investing a lot of money in him, or Cameron Johnson, you're trying to get the Lakers or Nets to him to not match, and you're making a real big commitment there. So I do feel like then you do have to explore some trades for Keldon, just because, like, you know, where he's at on the team in terms of roster. And then Nikhil Alexander-Walker, I just feel like, again, he would be a really good bench piece. So I've talked about him already. I just feel like, and that wouldn't cost you a lot. Like, again, five to like 12.4 million, maybe you have to go to 13 to sign him. And he'd be a good piece on the bench there for you for multiple years. And like, again, he's always there in different versatile lineups for you. So I know that it's kind of tough because like this free, as I told you before we recorded, this free agent class is kind of like at the top, the star power, like it's kind of underwhelming, which we knew that going in. There wasn't like a lot of star players that you could immediately, you know, go out there and throw money at and try to sign. And so it is definitely great for like role players and players for bench. I think that's what this is what one of the highlights of this free agency class. So, man, we'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be interesting here coming up on Friday. Did you have any last thoughts before we close out this episode, Colin?
Yeah, I think, you know, you were looking at that core, and I think another really interesting name, you know, we talk about a point guard who can run an offense and a pick and roll initiator. One name that I really do find interesting, and this is going to be a big year to learn kind of what the capabilities are in that, is Blake Wesley. Because in summer league, he showed stuff. And he had an explosive first step, that athleticism. He was using it to like get to the spots he wanted. And when you can create for yourself, it makes creating for others only that much easier. But, you know, the Spurs, you think about all of the guards that have come up in, you know, Spurs U over the past, you know, 6-7 years since DeJounte Murray. They have this down to a system. They have it down to an art. And they had Blake Wesley in that training program, if you will. And then he got hurt. And he never really recovered after that. So, you know, we might be talking in 2 or 3 years where he's the answer to that question that we're talking about now. And we just don't know. So I completely understand. I think Brian Wright making the complete right decision to say, we're going to take all of our inner core and maybe what I might call outer core guys, and we're not going to touch them. We're just going to see how this goes together. We understand that the roster construction isn't quite clean, but there will be movement maybe at the trade deadline or next offseason. But we just need to see who fits around this generational talent first before we make the moves, and then don't get 3 or 4 years down the line and go, oh man, that player we traded, he would have been the perfect fit next to Wembanyama. So it's one of those things where I think there's no perfect answer for them this offseason. As we've looked at, there's a couple of cool and intriguing ones, but I think it's one of those things where, you know, you talked about it not being a very big free agent class. And I think that that's the case since 2019 when Kawhi moved and KD and Kyrie moved. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the max extension rules. That's because of the veteran extension rules. That's because of how star players are now requesting trades before they even hit free agency to go to the teams that they want to get to. So if the Spurs don't have that second or third star on the roster now or through the draft, they're probably not going to get that player through free agency. They're probably going to have to make a trade. And I think that probably won't come until next summer or the summer after. But we still have a lot of development for a lot of guys on the roster. So, you know, it's there's some intriguing names out there, but it's maybe not going to be a super duper splashy summer, is what I would say.
For sure. And just real quick before we close this out, I actually had some more comments on that I just thought of because what you said there about Blake Wesley. So as you all saw, I didn't have him in the core of the Spurs, even though, you know, he is also just coming into year two. And I think what was hard about, you know, looking at his season was just the fact that Sohan and Malachi had such, you know, really, you know, they basically exceeded expectations. And so it was tough on Blake just to have to basically, you know, live up to that hype behind those two, just the fact that they really popped off in their rookie year. And his was a little bit, you know, like you said, the injury really slowed him down at the beginning. So, you know, he could be definitely a piece for the franchise down the stretch. But right now, I don't quite put him in that group just based on what I saw in year one. Another comment I do want to make is that depending on moves they make this coming weekend, it wouldn't be surprising if they need to clear up some roster space to see them waive a player on a guaranteed contract, maybe like a Kim Birch who ended the year last year after he got traded to San Antonio on the injured list. We never even saw him play with the Spurs. His deal was for like $6.7 million. And then also a player like Charles Bassey, who had a good showing with the Spurs last year, ended up getting hurt, but his deal is only it's at $2.5 million. So again, if they need to clear up some caps, not cap space, that won't help you get cap space, but if they need to clear up some some roster space, they may need to look at waiving some of those players currently on deals. And Colin, I just want to do a quick rapid fire questions with you real fast before we close this out. Trey Jones, is he a Spur again next season?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Sandro Mamukelashvili, Mamu, is he a Spur again?
I think so. I think he is. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So then if that's the case, so that I'm agreeing with you, by the way. I'm not like trying to
shift anything.
If that's the case, then that means two open roster spots. That's it. So out of all these players we just dug into, that's two open roster spots, unless they waive players, other players.
So I have one quick rapid fire question for you then to kind of put the shoe on the other foot. Okay. So Dominic Barlow or Champagne, who is going to have that third two-way spot? I mean, because I'm going to guess so we already have one two-way spot accounted for, and then I think CD is going to get the other one.
Yes.
So that last one, is that going to go to Dominic Barlow or Champagne?
I'm gonna go ahead and say Champagne, but only because I just saw a Spurs report, a tweet. They like put pictures of the players working out.
Oh, yeah, he was in the background.
And he's in there. Yeah, he's in the background. And also, a fan sent me something. They saw him at somewhere in San Antonio at some event here in town, and that, you know, he had said he would be back. I don't know if he meant back like in the city or what that meant, but so I just feel like, that's just, just based on visual evidence. Yeah. And I also feel like he's just the good piece to have around for shooting. You need shooting, and he showed it there at the end of the year. And if you need to, you can just put him on a regular season contract if down the stretch of the season. Mm-hmm. So I'm more confident in Champagne being back than Barlow. So yeah, man, let's see what happens this weekend. So like we said, man, if they end up signing Jones back and Mamu, that's two open roster spots unless they make some trades or if they waive some other players. So that's kind of, even though and the big thing too though is they do need to get over like $20 million. They need to spend that cap space by the start of the regular season. So there is a priority to either trade for players or sign for free agents. So again, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very interesting weekend and then also summer coming up. So thank you to Colin for joining me here on this episode of the Spurs Cast. I also wanted to say thank you to Joe Garcia for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.